It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Dr. Roberta DiBiase says the Ebola virus is not what you should be worried about.
I think it's just human nature. If it's unusual, we're a little more nervous about it, even if it's not really the thing you should be worried about.
She says you should be more concerned about the flu. The story coming up on this West Virginia morning. A special Senate task force made its first stop yesterday on its tour of southern West Virginia. The Southern Coalfields Organizing to Revitalize Its Economy, or SCORE. Senate panel visited Beckley to hear straight from community members how they think lawmakers can help the region's economy. Ashton Mara attended that forum and brings us this report.
The eight panel members that attended the Beckley Forum were led by Senate President Jeff Kessler, an ex officio member of the special committee, and chairs Mike Green and Art Kirkendall. The senator from Raleigh County, Green, faces a tight race for re-election. Kirkendall is from Logan County and is not up for re-election this year. All of the members gave brief opening remarks, including Kirkendall's statement that coal will always be the top industry in southern West Virginia. But the night wasn't about what the senators had to say. It was about what members of the community had to say about their ideas to revitalize and diversify southern West Virginia. People like Andy Knapp of Beckley.
We have all the resources in our area. What we seem to lack, though, in some areas is a trained workforce. I'd like to see a little bit of emphasis on this task force to look at the education opportunities in southern West Virginia and improve those and show these young adults that there is and can be good opportunities in southern West Virginia for them.
Knapp says he's a father of three, one college graduate, one in high school, and one in middle school. And all three of his children talk about leaving the state to try to find job opportunities. That's where the committee's focus should be, he says, keeping our children in the state. Kathy Brunty works with kids at a youth and family resource center in Wyoming County. She says empowering young people and young families will change southern West Virginia, but they can't do that without some help from the state and local government. She'd like to see that aid come in the form of public transportation in her county.
Because we have great, awesome programs, but we can't get the children who need to be there. They're isolated in hollers. Now, hollows, we call them hollers, right? And we need to go get them. And if we had some form of public transportation, so please don't forget public transportation.
There was talk of how an increase in infrastructure, building roads and providing internet access, will automatically draw in new industries, of how reinstating money that's been cut from tourism will draw in new people and incite expansion, and how promoting not just the use of solar power, but also the manufacturing of solar panels in West Virginia could create hundreds of jobs. But many came to share what's already happening in the area. Organizations like the West Virginia Community Development Hub, the West Virginia Coal Association, and the Boy Scouts of America. Carrie Jo Grace works with the Our Children, Our Future campaign and had this to say about economic diversification.
One of the really unique things about West Virginia is that we're very few people spread over a very big area. And no matter how many roads we build, we're still going to be spread out and we're still going to be far apart from each other. So I think it's very important that most of our economy is locally based. So I think we need things like small business incubators, micro loans to local folks, so that they can start up their own mom and pop shops, or they can start a plumbing business that they wouldn't be able to otherwise.
John Cook of Logan County says it's about having developable land available, something southern West Virginia lacks, not just because of its topography.
Right now, large portions of southern West Virginia is held by out-of-state corporations. You cannot build anything without buying the land, and you can't get the land with the mineral rights. And no one's going to build anything without the mineral rights under that property. And these companies will not give them up.
Cook's suggestions? Raise severance taxes on the minerals that may be left under those held lands, or claim eminent domain for economic development. Tough choices, he says, but ones he would support. The panel will make three more stops in southern West Virginia before the legislative session in January to hear from more community members. After their tour, panelists will come up with key pieces of legislation they think can help diversify the economy of the region for the full legislature to consider. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Beckley.
In another public seminar last night at the Berkeley Medical Center in Martinsburg, Ebola preparedness was the focus of discussion. Should West Virginians really feel at risk of contracting the disease? As Liz McCormick reports, these doctors say there's little to fear.
And if you only remember one thing tonight, that's what I want you to remember, that we are not in the middle of an epidemic here in the United States.
The first half of the seminar explained Ebola, and the second, how prepared area hospitals are to handle it. Wayne Selzer is one of the 100 community members who attended the seminar.
Level of preparedness can never be high enough, and the best level of preparedness is self-preparedness. So more seminars like this, along with public involvement as well, will help calm who have fears and against those who have, you know, no training whatsoever.
Dr. Matthew Simmons, the infectious disease specialist at Berkeley Medical Center, was one of the speakers.
There's very little that a person in the community has to do to protect themselves from Ebola at this point because the risk of transmission is so low.
Dr. Roberta DiBiase, the chief of the Division of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at Children's National Medical Center, says you only have to worry about the virus if you're showing symptoms.
It really is very, very important as to where you have been, because it's really not a widespread epidemic. It's not at all spreading in the United States. So unless you have those symptoms and you were in contact, like you were a nurse or a doctor and took care of a patient who had Ebola, then we would not worry that you had Ebola virus.
DiBiase tried to help put it into perspective that more people die from influenza in the U.S. than Ebola.
I think it's just human nature. If it's unusual, we're a little more nervous about it, even if it's not really the thing you should be worried about.
The final message the doctors gave the audience was simply to stay calm. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Liz McCormick in Martinsburg.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:37. Some fog this morning, giving way to partly sunny skies today. Temperatures will be in the 50s, becoming cloudy overnight with patchy frost, lows in the 30s. Mostly cloudy with a chance of rain on Friday. Daytime highs in the 40s and low 50s. And the outlook for the weekend, a chance of rain or snow on Saturday. Clearing on Sunday, it'll be much colder with daytime highs in the 30s and 40s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by West Virginia Division of Rehabilitation Services, enabling and empowering workers with disabilities to meet business workforce needs. Visit WVDRS.org for employer services.
For the next 2 days, we'll focus in on the race for the first congressional district between Republican Congressman David McKinley and West Virginia State Auditor Democrat Glenn Gaynor. Last month on our weekly political talk show Viewpoint, Gaynor told host Ashton Mara the key to creating jobs in West Virginia is a realignment of the federal tax code and a focus on improving education.
You've spoken about this in previous interviews about the partisan deadlock, and that got you interested in politics in Washington. But sending a Democrat into a body that's controlled by Republicans, does that break that partisanship?
You know, I think it's all about leadership and one's ability. I think first of all and foremost, you have to be willing to work and work with both sides and set politics aside. At the end of the day, it should be, and what we should have our leaders in Washington, they should be rising above the partisan politics, and they really should be focusing on issues, finding areas where we can agree, and begin passing legislation and moving things forward. And that takes individual leadership from every member of the body. And I know I can do a better job, and I know I can achieve things in Washington.
So I want to focus on some of the issues that you talk about, you've talked about on your campaign. On your campaign website, on the Meet Glenn Gaynor page, it says, quote, in Congress, Glenn will fight for middle class families by working to create new jobs, reduce the deficit, protect Medicare and Social Security, and stand up for the West Virginia coal economy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've checked out your opponent's page, but Congressman McKinley's campaign website says almost the same exact thing. He says that he'll stand for those same issues. So what makes you different than the congressman? How do you differentiate yourself?
Well, and that's one thing, and that's another issue why I'm running. Mr. McKinley, when he's in district, says one thing, but his actions in Washington have always been something different. But when we look at truly creating jobs, we've been in a recession on and off in this country, it seems like forever. Yet Congress has failed to pass a comprehensive job act. And government should not be in the business, and government cannot be a job creator. The only job governments create are government jobs. But government has to create the right environment for the private sector to create jobs. And that's not happening today. It's not happening in Washington. We've talked in this country about tax reform, it seems like, for the last 20 years, and yet we're doing nothing about that. If we really want to get serious about creating jobs in this country, we have to begin with looking at the tax structure. We saw right here in West Virginia when Mylan Pharmaceuticals used the tax inversion loophole in our current tax code to move offshore to, once again, reduce their tax burden. The sad thing is we should not be seeing American corporations moving offshore. We should see corporations wanting to move into America and do business. And so we have to look at our tax structure. A 35% corporate net income tax rate is too high. Quite simply, it's too high. The trouble is large corporations in this country are able to get loopholes and exemptions and are paying a net tax rate of something far, far less than 35%. Normally in the neighborhood of 12 to 15%. Unfortunately, the real job creators in this country are our small business folks. They don't have those loopholes and those exemptions. So, you know, they're paying a much higher real net tax rate than the large corporations. So we have to level that playing field and make sure that just because you're a large corporation and you can hire lobbyists and you can go in and you get all these special exemptions and exceptions in the tax law to benefit you, we've got to make sure that playing field is level. And it has to begin with our tax structure. If we're going to create jobs in this country, we have to create an environment that people want to invest and create jobs.
So creating jobs is the first on your list of things you'll do if you're elected to Congress. And I think I'm hearing you say that you would focus on tax reform.
I think tax reform is the first part of it. We also have to look at education and the education system and where we're at there. I see in the first congressional district right now a shortage of people that we need to fill existing jobs in the first congressional district. You know, we have the huge boom in the drilling in the Marcellus and Utica Shale in West Virginia, and we see so many out-of-staters coming in filling so many of those jobs. Not only do we need to have more petroleum engineers and folks that have the higher degrees that are working in the oil and gas fields trained here in West Virginia to take those jobs, but we also should be working with the trade schools and the tech schools to create the graduates to fill the other jobs that are being created right now in the oil and gas industry, all the way down to creating operating engineers and laborers. I mean, we have to be looking at that whole broad sector. So, you know, tax reform is part of it. Education and where we're at in educating and providing the right folks for the workforce to fill the jobs, as well as also working with the technical and community colleges and even with the labor unions and their apprenticeship programs to help us create the educated workforce we need to fill the jobs that our economy is creating here in West Virginia.
You can listen to Ashton Morrow's full interview with Auditor Glenn Gaynor on our website, wvpublic.org. Search for the Viewpoint page. Tomorrow, we'll hear from Gaynor's opponent, Congressman David McKinley. And this week, we've been introducing you to the third-party candidates running for federal-level offices in the state, and we continue today with U.S. Senate hopeful John Buckley. Buckley lives in Hardy County, but is a native of Virginia, where he served a term in the General Assembly there. Glynis Board has this profile of the Libertarian candidate.
John Buckley, I'm running for United States Senate. Now, I'm a candidate of a third party called the Libertarian Party.
John Buckley approaches person after person during an outdoor concert in downtown Charleston earlier this summer, shaking hands and presenting each with a pamphlet.
Just different than Republicans and Democrats, but I think it takes the best of both. Low taxes and small government, but individual freedom, personal liberty as well. And I don't think either party stands for that combination. So that's what I'm trying to offer the voters of West Virginia this year.
Sounds good.
A new choice.
Buckley hails from New Orleans, Louisiana, but now resides in Hardy County. He's running for the seat longtime Senator Jay Rockefeller is vacating.
I come from a family that's involved in politics. There are branches of the Buckley family that have been involved in politics in Texas, in New York, and in Connecticut.
He caught the political bug early and has been developing his political compass ever since.
Politicians these days don't lead, they follow. And I think they should be leaders. They should stand up for what they think is right and the prescription to solve problems and issues.
Buckley served one term as a Republican in the House of Delegates in the state of Virginia, beginning in 1979. Afterwards, he went on to get a law degree. Then he spent 12 years as a career law clerk, assisting judges researching issues and writing opinions with the U.S. Court of Federal Claims in Washington, D.C. Buckley retired from the position and decided to get back into politics. But over the years, he fell away from the Republican Party. Small government, free enterprise, individual freedoms, Buckley is running a campaign for libertarians. He says he's not in the race just to make a statement. He wants to give people a viable third option.
We need to drastically cut federal spending. There are whole fields of endeavor that are not the province of the federal government. Across-the-board tax cuts, not just because I want money in my pocket, which I do, but so everybody can have more money in their own pockets to spend as they see fit for the needs of their family.
Buckley staunchly supports the right to bear arms. He wants to end the war on drugs, and he's one of the only openly gay candidates running for Senate. But first and foremost, Buckley vehemently favors the repeal of the Affordable Care Act and would work hard to see it dismantled.
I think it's going to ruin the economy and the healthcare system in this country. The federal government shouldn't be in the position of healthcare. That should be left to citizens solving that healthcare issue at the local and state levels. We shouldn't have a federal Department of Health and Human Services.
Buckley is also waving the war on coal banner. His solution to what he says is an administrative war on coal is to make any actions of agencies like the Environmental Protection Agency contingent upon approval of Congress. Buckley says it's important to consider cost-benefit analysis of all decisions that affect both the environment and the economy.
I think there is global warming. How much global warming there is, I don't know, and I'm not a scientist.
Buckley says in the decade or more it might take for things to go really wrong in the environment, we shouldn't stunt economic growth, which he says is what fuels all technologies that will allow us to cope with the coming environmental disasters. In the meantime, Buckley is very excited about natural gas development in the Northeast. He says the natural gas boom brings the promise of energy independence and maybe more.
Look what fracking has done. The administration can take quite a number of steps that can put the United States on a independent posture energy-wise and allow us to be an energy exporter across the world and to then use that clout to help ease some of the sources of international discord.
Buckley is looking forward to November when he says, in the privacy of the voting booth, voters will surprise everyone. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.